The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
Happy to have Father Gene Hemrick back on the show. He joins us monthly. And Father Gene Hemrick was ordained in 1963 as a priest of the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, and directed research for the Bishop's Conference for 20 years. He's director of the National Institute for the Renewal of the Priesthood, and has been a weekly nationally syndicated columnist for Catholic News Service since 1980. He's written five books, including Habits of a Priestly Heart. Father, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing all right. How are you?
Pretty good. Very good, in fact. Sad about what's happening in the Philippines.
Yeah, yeah. Just
very sad. One of my doctors is a Filipino, and I'm just thinking about him and his family.
Yeah, it's got to be just agonizing not to know if your family's okay, because the way things are right now, it must still be impossible to really find anybody.
Yeah, it's just devastating. All my life, other than atom bomb, I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, certainly continue to pray for them, and hopefully they'll get the help they need.
Yeah, I agree. Yes.
So what did you have to share with us this morning, Father?
Well, I was going to deal with my second chapter of the book I'm writing on homespun wisdom.
Oh, okay.
It deals with the community spirit, which I think we're going to see come into play quite a bit these next few days. Mm-hmm. And what I did was, in writing this book, went back over my own life, and lessons that I learned during my life that now, reflecting back on them, were just precious, and they were filled with wisdom, and I thought I'd pass them on to those who would be interested in what has happened. I addressed the topic of community spirit, and I'd like to start with this note because I think it's apropos for what's happening right now. It's by Margaret Mead, and she says, "There is no doubt that a small group of thoughtful citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has." And I think we're going to see a lot of small groups of citizens coming together like never before to help out these people in the Philippines. And it will change the situation. They'll get them back on their feet. But it will be the efforts of these small communities all around the world. And we're seeing it right now, which is one of the beautiful things about the way we come together.
Yeah.
So how do we start this? Well, I have lived in community like yourself all my life. Brought up in a family, had a wonderful neighborhood friends, went to school, there was a community there, then went to the seminary, and we were locked into a community there. And, you know, you take community for granted, and we talked about it, but, you know, I never really got into it in depth. It wasn't until I had an incident take place when I was newly ordained that really gave me a deep insight into the beauty and the power of community. And let me set the setting for this. I was out of the seminary. I was sitting in my room in the parish. My first parish was at St. Michael's in Wheaton, Illinois. And I'm reading away, and the pastor comes in, a wonderful pastor, wonderful first start. And he says, "James, put the books down and get out there with the people. You know, I mean, you've been studying long enough. Get out there and find out what the town is like." And it was a small town. It was a town, really, that had been formed, Wheaton. We had a lot of farmers around there, and then how the farmers come in and they settle in the town. Now it had become quite a metropolis. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, he said, "Get out there." So it just happened that the other associate that I was living with at the time was being moved, and he had been the chaplain of the fire department. So I said, "Gino, here are the boots, here's the helmet, you are now the chaplain of the fire department." And the next thing I knew, I was riding the back of a fire truck. In those days, we rode the back of the fire truck, running down the street after a fire. And my dad was a Chicago fireman, so I had some idea of what to do as a fireman. But that was my first encounter as a young priest with the people, the community of Wheaton. And it was a great experience. First of all, the men that I worked with on the fire department were just great guys. They were very simple fellows. One was a plumber. Another was an electrician. We had one who was fixing cars. We had an undertaker. We had the whole nine yards. It is interesting because when I was reflecting in this, I happened to come across a quote by Aristotle, and he said, "The best political community is formed by citizens of the middle class." And that's what I was dealing with, the middle class of that town. Anyhow, one of the things that really hit home to me as far as community spirit is that when we went to a fire, We had to act as a team. There were no such things as hot dogs. That we used that word. And so when we came to the fire, immediately the fellow who was the electrician would go and cut the wires to the building. The plumber would go in and shut the gas down. And then the chief, he would be standing outside watching our backs so that we didn't get hurt. The fellow at the pumper, he was giving us water so that we had the right pressures. And we were working together as a team. And it was just that spirit. Of course, it's an emergency situation, which brings out team spirit more than anything. And it was like, boy, they are watching out for me. I'm watching out for them. We all have our role to play. And it's, as one person says, when you're talking about community, it's less about me and more about we. And that just hit home to me. I thought, you know, this is wonderful, the way we work together, we support each other, and how we cover each other in our work. And I thought to myself, you know, this is the same spirit that a lot of men and women get when they're in the armed forces. And sometimes years later, they will talk about those days and how it was wonderful team spirit. Well, this was my first really insight into the power of community. And I must say, it just sort of hit me very strongly, and I thought, this is wonderful. One of the things about that team spirit, you'll get a kick out of this, was that we, after we got to know each other real well, we could jive with each other. And the guys would really get on my back and say, hey, Father, keep it short and simple, stupid, talking about my homilies. Mm. And then they'd say, don't use big words. Keep it short and simple. And we were able to do that, and there was a spirit in that was just wonderful to behold, because we felt comfortable with each other and sharing this, and no hard feelings. It was great. We could do it. Later on, when I became chaplain of the Holy Cross Brothers, that same spirit was there about the jiving. The brothers that I was with, some of them had PhDs, and I would get my homily in the morning, and I'll never forget one of them saying, you know, Gene, that was a great homily. The only thing is, you had it upside down. Your information was upside down. And we joked. And that was part of that whole community spirit. So then I took a look again at this as I was reflecting on it. And I said, you know, what else is functioning here? And one of the most beautiful things about having a community like that of firemen was they did a lot of pro bono work for the community. We knew the community, and we provided for the community. But many of us, because we have somewhat of a farm background, we had got big gardens, and we would share the produce with the people who didn't have it as well as we did. Mm-hmm. And there were other little things that were done for the community. And it's very interesting, because when you're a fireman or a policeman, you really get to know your community, and you provide for it. It's interesting, the word provide comes from pro videre. It means, videre means to look or see. And it was that we saw our people in the community. They weren't just something who was anonymous out there, but we knew the troubles they were having, and we responded to it as a team. And it was part of the, believe it or not, of the fire department. Mm-hmm. It was, we were firemen, but we were also working with the police, and we got to know our people. And when we saw something was out of order, we responded to it. And that was one of the things that struck me about the, you know, being part of a community like that. Then, you know, how do men keep themselves together? I mean, it's one thing to respond to the community. What about, besides protecting each other and looking out for each other, how do you keep that spirit going? Well, we did have gardens. One of our firemen, Santo, he grew nothing but cabbages. And about this time of the year, we would pull in all of those cabbages. We had one of these hand grinders. We bought these old crocks. We scalded them. And then we would listen to the football game, and we would be making sauerkraut all day long. And it was great. But after we made all of the sauerkraut, we, of course, shared it with other people, we would have a Reuben sandwich night, get together around the dinner table, and eat the most delicious Reuben sandwiches you would ever taste. And it dawned on me, there's this, the dinner table, and we used to share a lot of our produce, and we used to come together for meals. And I said, you know, that's what the Eucharist is all about, coming together as a community, as one, and sharing our bread with each other. Not only sharing our bread with each other, but the camaraderie that goes with it and the fun we had together. Mm. All of those gentlemen, by the way, have passed away. Oh. I really miss that community that we had. So that was some of my insights on the whole idea of community. Mm. And I must say, I feel that I was very blessed to have experienced that because, you know, you go through life and you sort of take people for granted. Mm-hmm. And every so often there is that gelling together of a group of people, and all of a sudden you're doing things that you never did before. It's interesting. When I was reflecting on this, I happened to come across some writings of de Tocqueville. De Tocqueville came from France and came to this country. Mm-hmm. And he saw, you know, it was working, and he wanted to figure out what it was. And he talks about community, and he said, you know, community sometimes begins with self-interest. And I read that, and I said, what is he talking about? Well, he said that, you know, for example, using the idea of a fireman, I like being a fire truck. I like going to emergency things. I like that type of work. Mm-hmm. It's my interest. But all of a sudden, you're taking on a new responsibility. And as you take on that responsibility, you realize responsibility has a goodness to it. And all of a sudden now, you want to be more responsible for more things because you realize that's a calling. It's something special. And it's like your responsibility has been awakened, and it's now new, fresh to you. And all of a sudden, you're looking for things to be able to help others with. And I believe that's at the basis of so much goodness that takes place in our lives. Somebody who all of a sudden has their responsibility awakened, and now they're doing things that they never did before for the community, and they're creating a beautiful community spirit because of it. They're beautiful people. So that was another insight that came along with this.
Mm-hmm.
And then years ago when I was studying sociology, I came across this idea of anomie. Anomie means you're here, but nobody knows about you. And one of the things that struck me as I was looking back at the beauty of what I experienced in community made me wonder, what about our young people today who go off and live in these high-rises, and basically the only community they have may be the bar down at the end of the street or maybe at the work people, but at night they're alone and really not really connected like you would be if you were in a little town with people around you and all of a sudden you're out there alone. And I wonder if, you know, what is being done in some of these high-rises to create that, because it can be really sterile.
Yeah.
And the people, you know, out there without that sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
More coming up with Father Gene Hemrick. We'll talk a little bit more about community just ahead. Stay with us. You're listening to Morning Air, 23 minutes past the hour. I'm Sean Harriott. Father Gene Hemrick is with me. We're talking a little bit about community and some of the thoughts in his upcoming book. And Father, you were talking about high-rises and kind of wondering what they can do to create community there. And I think it brings up such an important point that, you know, community is more than about proximity.
Yes, that's very true, because I live in an apartment building right now. And it's easy just to be ships passing in the night, even though we live right next door to each other. I live right next door to a congressman, and there's a congresswoman down below. I hardly ever see them, and we have very little communication. It is. It's very true. Proximity does not create community. You have to go out of your way. And I must say, even though some of these people in this building we don't see very often, there are others who do make a point of trying to get together and to work together on different things on the building, which the building needs. And then once in a while, again, I go back to that idea of the meal. I invited a young couple that were here about to get married. I said, come on down to my apartment. I'll have a nice meal for you. And they came down, and it was just wonderful to, you know, see the young couple planning their future and the conversation we had and the food. It was nice. And then later on, I have a garden, and I always leave something at their door, some of the vegetables that were in my garden, which, by the way, was very good this year.
Mm.
So, yeah, you're right. Proximity. In order for proximity to work, you have to reach out to people, and a lot of people don't like to do that. A lot of people like to be recluses, and they don't have that. And it is a gift to be able to reach out. My own mother, I don't like to tap my head, but my mother was wonderful in that. She was a great cook, and in the neighborhood, when anybody went down, there was a meal, and she would bring it to them. And it really created a wonderful spirit. And when she passed away, many people remember that as thoughtful days when they weren't as healthy as they could have been, and there's the meal, and the home-cooked meal. So So that is part of the whole idea of community. It's got to reach out, and it's proximity. You're right. I mean, how close you are.
And we seem to develop an awareness of that. I mean, you were talking about, you know, the good things that we'll see coming out of the Philippines. I mean, just the fact that in a situation like that, people help each other in ways that we just don't normally. And
right.
I guess it's finding a way to bring some of that into our everyday lives when things aren't, you know, when things aren't dire.
Mm-hmm.
That's the challenge.
It's interesting that emergencies really bring people together. And when we're in real difficult situations, there's a tendency to pull together a lot more. My mother always said that when this was the Second World War, that it was the most romantic time in her life. And I said, "Mom, what are you talking about?" She said, "First of all, we pulled together. We did. Everybody pulled together. We had victory gardens. Everybody was helping everybody else. But also, you didn't know whether your loved one was ever going to come back again.
Mm.
So there was that feeling of, you know, will he come back, praying for him, hoping that he would return. My dad, my uncles, everybody. And then some of them didn't on our block.
Mm.
We used to have those little flags that they put in the window that showed you had lost somebody in the service. It was a difficult time. But we pulled together. And again, going back to the fire department, when there was an emergency, it's amazing how men will work together and to bring something out more than usual. It's somewhat unusual. And of course, some of those situations are very difficult. I mean, you know, people hurt, and you're doing CPA, you're doing all types of things to keep people alive. And again, it's a life death situation, and it does bring the best out in many people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Father, thank you. It's always good to talk to you. I appreciate you coming on this morning.
Thank you.
It's
have a happy Thanksgiving, by the way.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Yeah.
It's 27 past the hour. We've got more of Morning Air on the way. Rhonda Martin is next.